I'd like to thank Mark for leading the songs. If you would, turn your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and we'll start there this morning. If you haven't figured out the topic yet, it's where do you stand? I want you to take just a minute here and think. We all stand for something. Some of us good for versus evil. Politics, sports. You can think of an issue that you stand for or you stand against. But we all stand somewhere. So the question I want to ask you today, and what I want to talk about for the next few minutes, is where do you stand with God? So let's read 2 Timothy here, verses 3. We'll read 16 and 17. And I want to read these verses because we're going to read a lot of verses today. And I want to emphasize the importance of the verses that we read. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This verse here tells us that what we read today from the Bible is God's Word. It's inspired by Him. It's good and useful for us. I want us to remember that as we read these verses. They're put there that we may be better. So do you stand amazed or in awe of God? It's one place we can stand. From the beginning, Genesis 1:1, we can read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Think about that for a second. God created the heavens and the earth. Think how complex our earth is. He created everything. The trees, the birds, the animals, us. Think of your body, how complex. We have doctors that can try to figure out things, but I've yet to see one create one. Same thing with trees and animals. Figure them out, figure out what to do with them, but I've yet to see a man create anything like that. He spoke us into existence. Think of the miracles in the Old Testament. Raising Lazarus from the dead. Think of the flood. Think of these things. Think of the prophecies. We can go through the Old Testament and think of multiple prophecies. Think of the accuracy rate. Think of something that we, I'll put it this way. Yesterday we went to the gun range. Our accuracy, it was okay. God's accuracy rate was 100%. Everything He said would happen, happened. Think about how Christ, after the third day, arose. Can you be amazed by that? Can you stand in awe of that? It's pretty impressive. Let's go over to John 3:16. It's a familiar verse. Everybody can probably quote it from heart. But I want to read it. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Dwell on that for a second. Parents that have children, how much love would it take for you to do what God did for us? Do we stand in amazement or all of that? My next point, and this is really the main subject of the lesson today, and was the last song that we sung, was, do you stand on the promises of God? And I've got 10 verses here, 10 promises that I want to read, and I'll promise to make it quick. It's not really in depth, but it's something for us to think about. Do we stand on these promises? Let's go over to 2 Peter 1. If you'll turn over there with me, that'll be the first one. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, and we'll read verse 3 and 4. "As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He's given us through his promises, a way to be partakers of the divine nature and a way to escape the corruption of the world. Think of the world today, all the things going on, all the things that draw us down, all the things that can weigh on us. Through his promises, God has given us a way to escape all that. The second promise, Jeremiah, let's go over to book of Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. He has given us future and hope. Again, think of the world today, the things that bring us down, the trials of life, the temptations of life. Here he promises a future and hope. We have a future in heaven with him. We have the hope of heaven with him if we do as we're commanded. The third promise. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He promises rest. Think of how tired we can become through life's trials, facing the temptations, facing the trials of life. He promises rest. In the end, we will have rest and peace. The fourth one, let's turn over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll read verses 29 through 31. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have not might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the youth men shall utterly fall, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I look at this and think through him, we can carry on. It says here that the young, who we typically think can go on forever, says that they will utterly fall. They shall faint and become weary. But through him, and he will renew our strength. Even though we may feel down, even though we may feel weary, the chance of giving up, through him, our strength will be renewed. We shall run and not be weary, and walk and not be faint. The fifth one, let's go over to Philippians 4, verses 19. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This verse here to me means we'll be taken care of. There's no need or want that won't be handled or taken care of by God. He shall supply our need through Christ Jesus. The sixth promise that I want to look at today is in Romans. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. It's good to hear everybody turning the pages with me. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, look at this verse again. Read it carefully. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things in the future or to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Is that comforting to you, to know that the love of God will never fail? It will never leave. It can never be taken away. The seventh promise is over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. 1 verse 33 says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." God will protect us. Knowing that we have somebody that if we listen to him and dwell safely, we will be secure without fear of evil. Let's turn back over to the New Testament in John chapter 14. Look at the eighth promise that I want to look at today. John chapter 14 and verse 27. This verse reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This verse here tells us he gives us peace. Think about that, peace. No troubles, no war, no crime, peace. He tells us not to be troubled or afraid. That has to be comforting to us. Let's turn over to Romans for the ninth promise that I want to look at. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. A promise that's important to all of us. 10 and verse 9. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Here he promises salvation to those who believe. Salvation for our sins that was paid by his Son. Saying that if we believe and confess, salvation he promises to us. And the last promise, I want to turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The tenth promise that I want to look at today. Verse 23 reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here, the promise of eternal life. To live with him for eternity. He also tells us what the wages of sin is. It's death. Do you stand on these promises? I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Do you stand up for God? Verses 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Are we watchful with our relationship with God? Do we watch against sin? Do we watch against temptations? Do we stand up for him? Second part there, are we steadfast in our faith? Are we willing to fight for God? To stand alone or stand with fellow Christians and defend our belief in the Lord? Verse 14 there, the last part, says that we should be loving. Do we let our love for God and our love of mankind and our love for one another be the motive for our work? The phrase is that our actions speak louder than our words. Does our actions stand up for God? We can stand up for him by the things that we do, by the way we act, by the way we speak. So my question for you today is, where do you stand? Do you stand in awe? Will you stand on the promises? Do you stand up for God? I have one more verse before closing here. It's Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. I want to turn over there real quick. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13. The way to salvation is pretty simple. We have to hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized. Today you have a choice of where you stand. In the Bible we can read where we will all stand at the end of days before the throne of God at judgment. You can choose to stand with and for God, or you can choose to stand against Him. So I ask you the question again, where do you stand? The last verse here I wanted to read is, I dare you to stand like Joshua. Joshua here in chapter 24, verse 15, he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in which those in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose today where you stand. If you're not a Christian, what better time than today to choose where you stand? To stand in amazement of God. To stand on the promises that He's promised you. Stand up for Him. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away, what better time than to come back and stand with Him once again? If anybody have any need, now is the time to choose where you stand.